Oh, wait until you hear what this guy did.
What'd he do?
He's the winner of the Arts TV and Appliance Good Neighbor Grill giveaway.
Yeah.
Which we did yesterday on Facebook Live on WPLR.
Congratulations.
Woo!
Congratulations to Joe Paoli.
Joe!
Joe, is that how I pronounce your name?
That is.
Nice. Nailed it.
All right. I want to read the letter that Richard Donaldson sent in to nominate you.
Oh, great.
My neighbor, Joe Paoli, who's an active member of the U.S. Army National Guard, saw my house on fire and risked his life to save my children and grandchildren inside the house.
Wow. Wow. Oh, my God.
That would be amazing if it stopped there.
Oh, it keeps going?
Oh, boy.
Joe didn't hesitate getting everyone outside to safety and then began removing fully engulfed items in an attempt to contain the fire and used several fire extinguishers until fire department arrived.
Wow.
For the fire himself.
Joe has also been recognized by his commander, Captain Ross Alexander, for his brave, swift actions to save life and property with the submission of an award pending in Washington. Joe is a true hero every day who puts his uniform on to protect this country and a true hero in plain clothes, ready and willing to risk his life for his neighbors. Joe's experience with putting fires out, I think, a new grill should be something Joe gets.
Well, you know, keep the fire in this grill going, though. Don't put this one out. This is where it's supposed to be on.
As long as it's contained,
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. I think he needs two grills.
Boy, could we... I don't think we could find a better person to get this grill.
Yeah, no, seriously. Kidding. You're kind of overqualified. You won.
A lot of good nominees, but man.
Yep.
Joe, can you bring us through that day?
I was outside just doing some yard work, and, you know, I smelled some smoke. And didn't really think anything of it until I started hearing the screaming.
Oh.
And then at that point, it was, you know, I put two and two together very quickly. And then ran and grabbed some fire extinguishers and a gas mask and just ran into the house.
Wait, you have a gas mask?
Well, yeah, it's from work.
What's it, like a bong?
I know, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, he works at a head shop.
The only time I've seen a gas mask outside of, like, police wearing them on television is like, well, guess what this is for?
Dude.
Yeah. That's not from when I was 16, no.
Oh, okay.
That was
it's,
a different one.
It's the real deal.
Yeah,
it's the real deal.
Okay.
I just figured maybe I might need it. So, and luckily I had it. I was able to go into the attic while I was on fire and put the attic out. And just start bringing, you know, stuff started falling when we opened the attic door.
Yeah.
It was a mess. Just
see, I think
flaming
that,
stuffed animals. And
to me, that'd be time to go.
Yeah, really.
How many kids and people were in the house?
I know they had, it was a couple adults. I know there was a newborn baby. So that, you know, they were just kind of still in there and,
newborn babies.
Yeah.
Wow. That's horrible.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Seriously.
I mean, luckily, they had gotten out. So I was thankful for
any
that.
Any pets?
So. I think they had a cat. Yeah, I think they had a cat. But I believe that did live.
So. Oh, see?
Oh, good.
Yeah. There you go. See?
Yeah, I didn't save the cat, but the cat was there.
Well, I think breaking the door in and going inside to get humans, the cat's like, I found my way out.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You cats go on ahead.
I'm going to follow this guy with the gas mask.
You go on ahead. I'll catch up, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably wondering what I was doing in the house.
Yeah, that's got to be scary for the cat.
Right.
So there's smoke, there's screaming.
Right, empty bowl.
And some guy who looks like a giant bug.
Hey, I'm glad you're here. Give me some food.
Yeah, even my neighbors thought that, too. They're like, who is this guy?
Right.
Yeah, is this bad?
Because I had a mask on.
Right.
They couldn't recognize me. And then I was just like, well, you know, it's me. I'm your neighbor, and I'm here to put your house out.
Right.
But were you really pulling items that were on fire, throwing them out
of the house? Yeah, because I had to get into the attic.
Right.
It was blocked by...
Oh, my God.
Like debris?
Bags of flaming stuffed animals.
Gotcha. So, oh, my God.
We're getting for a band.
I just put it is a good name. I put them in a hamper, brought them outside, and they just kept bringing a couple more loads of stuff that were charred. And
but what did you need to get in the attic? What was in the attic?
The fire was in the attic.
The fire.
No, I know, but the people were out of the house, right?
You wanted to put the fire out.
Yeah. But I didn't want the house to burn down.
See?
Jeez.
That's why the gas mask.
Holy crap.
Exactly, right.
I'm having a hard time doing the math here. Right. It's like, well, if everyone's out of the house, why are you in there?
And then afterwards, he built a deck.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, you guys need a swimming pool also. Right. I see a guy in a gas.
Nobody wants to see their house. Their neighbor's house burned.
So. I see a guy in a gas mask. I'm like, what'd you eat?
And he stitched together brand new stuffed animals.
And he installed it on lawn.
All before 5 p.m.
Exactly.
Before the fire department got there.
Right. Exactly. Like, my God, who
all before my first beer.
Right. Yeah.
The power of gas mask.
Wow. And this happened in Oxford?
Yeah, yeah.
When?
2 years ago, July.
Oh,
so almost
God.
2 years.
Right.
And the neighbor's, Richard's house is all put back together and everyone's fine?
Yeah, it looks beautiful.
That's why he's still his neighbor, yeah.
I'm going to move near you.
Holy cow.
Right.
Wowie. That is really remarkable.
See that?
The house really does look nice.
Yep.
It'd be weird if you got the grill and then your house lit on fire from the grill.
My old grill now sometimes does explode when I start it.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, it wakes up, doesn't it?
Oh, it does that woof, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, woof.
Yeah, it takes so long for it to ignite.
Right, and it goes
the
off.
Gas builds up and goes, boom.
I'm like,
and you could hear the like metal around the grill is just like, I can't move anymore. Popping, boom.
Yeah. Right, and you can't look surprised. Your eyebrows are gone.
No, but yeah, I'm going to keep my hair in regulation.
Exactly,
this
right.
This is great.
Exactly, right. Crew cut, no barbecue.
Takes those little antennae off your eyebrows.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
Stragglers.
That strange hair grew out of your neck, gone.
Ah, Joe, we are so proud to give you this grill from Arts Television and Appliance in North Haven in Middletown. They're going to bring it to you. They're going to set it up for you. And if you want, they'll take away that ticking time bomb of a grill that you have right now.
You don't want that.
Exactly.
And they'll toss it.
Enjoy your new grill and don't put it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. And I couldn't thank you guys more, so.
No, we thank you.
Well, that's the least.
Well, you can thank us by inviting us to a picnic.
I cannot wait.
I live in Oxford, so I'm like minutes away. I'd love to meet you and come by.
He's at your house already.
Anytime. Yeah, I'm going to go get some fresh burgers.
There you go, see?
Perfect.
I want some stuffed animals.
Yeah. All right. Joe Paoli, winner of the Arts TV and Appliance Good Neighbor Grill giveaway. Thanks for coming on, and thanks for what you do, and thank you for your service.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to Scott Haney, Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. He's at Rentschler Field in East Hartford. Good morning.
Whatever that song was that you just played, oh my goodness gracious.
Don't ever play it again.
Def Leppard?
Don't ever play it again.
Okay.
What was that?
That's a good song.
It's Def Leppard, Too Late for Love.
Yep.
Oh, and I typically love Def Leppard. Oh. I think they were too late when they wrote that song.
Right. Too Late for Love with that one.
I didn't call you a bad
anyway.
Day. Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you guys?
Good.
Fine, thanks. And you?
Good. We're great. Of course, I want to thank PLR for being here. You were the second behind us to get here this morning. We are so grateful.
We're honored
to
be there.
Thank you so much for your support.
Masks for CT, along with Food Share.
Yep.
Distributing food.
Today, I think we've created a little bit of a monster because there are lines out to the street, and they say that, you know, this typically doesn't open until 8 o'clock, and they're not used to seeing lines like this. So
no.
I think the people saw it on channel. Because we didn't advertise this, because we were just going to do it for the people who show up for the food.
Yeah.
And then we went on the air this morning, and people started showing up.
Surprise.
And they started showing up. And now they're here, and the lines are incredibly long. And they said, this is all because of the mask giveaway. And I'm like, oh, boy. So I hope we didn't create a monster. But starting at 8 o'clock, the floodgates will open, and we're going to be giving away the masks, and we're going to be giving away the food. They gave away 1 million pounds of food in 7 weeks.
Nice.
That's a lot of food.
A lot of food. $40,000 worth of additional food a week are going out the door to Food Share. So if you can, go to foodshare.org. and donate a couple of bucks. I'm sure they'd appreciate it. And Masks for CT, they said that they've got plenty of money at this point to keep funding the masks. Tuesday is today. We are at Rentschler Field. It will be Thursday at Enfield High School giving out the free masks. No food associated with that event, just free masks in Enfield on Thursday.
Imagine living in the richest state in the country, which is the richest country in the world, and being hungry.
Right.
No, so, I can't imagine it.
No,
these people
unthinkable.
Are so food insecure. They don't know where they're going for their next meals. So they come here. They get 23 pounds of fruits, vegetables, and then they get 9 pounds of perishable items. They get milk. They get cheese. They get bread.
That's excellent.
Obviously, bread and non-perishable items. But they're getting tons, 23 pounds and 9 pounds. So if you're thinking about it, they're getting over 30 pounds of food a day. And that is just a remarkable thing that FoodShare has been able to put together.
Yeah, if you get a chance to look them up, it's a good thing. You're not eating any of that food, are you?
I brought my own banana to
see?
Work this morning.
So, there you go, see?
And No, it's one thing. I will never eat food from a distribution center. It's just like it's like a
right.
personal thing. Even
yeah,
to,
yeah, never,
you know, if they order in yeah. lunch, you know, maybe I'll take
that
them,
was
but,
a lame right. attempt at humor.
Right.
So I'm glad you said the word banana, because banana is funny.
Yeah, banana's funny. Bring a smile to your face.
Did you have a low-flying bird almost smash into your head today?
Yes, an egret. I think it was an egret. I was a little afraid of that, but nonetheless, it did bypass us. I think it was a pterodactyl.
Gotcha.
It was a big bird.
I feel like quarantine has taught everybody bird species except for me. Like, how does everybody know how to identify these birds?
I like that bird.
By the pool windshield.
Said, is that Scott Haney?
Right.
I love him.
Hi, Scott.
I'm going to carry him off and eat him later.
I saw Scott Haney. The thing did try to carry me off.
Yeah.
Well, I know you got to go and get back on TV. I just wanted to say hello, and of course, we'll talk to you Thursday.
Okay, we're looking forward to it, guys. Be
right,
well,
brother.
Be safe.
You
we
too,
love
man.
You.
Love
right,
you too.
Love you. Nice job. Scott Haney, Channel 3, at the FoodShare/Masks for CT event in East Hartford at Rentschler Field. Going on, they're going to start at 8, but the line is long right now.
Yeah.
And 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox, proud to be there. Let's talk to Chris Lyons, retired Sergeant, Hartford Police Department.
Nice.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. Thanks for your service to the police department. Thanks for protecting us.
Thank you.
It was an honor. I love being a police officer in Hartford. It was an honor for me to do so.
What do you think of what's going on now?
Well, I think it's disgraceful. I think those officers in Minneapolis, I think they waited too long to arrest that one guy, Chauvin. I think the other three guys are in great legal jeopardy. They didn't do anything to protect Mr. Floyd. They didn't do their job. And their inaction and that horrible action by Chauvin has caused all this controversy and strife in the United States. It's awful. It's horrible. It makes me sad because police officers are out there not to hurt anybody. That's
right.
That guy's not a real cop.
No.
It's disgraceful.
Yeah, it almost looked like he was enjoying it.
Yeah,
he's
kind of smirking.
The fact that he did it while cameras were running, yep. Just
there
is
no
alarming.
Reason. Once a suspect is handcuffed, you know, they took the guy out of the car to do that. I mean, once a person's handcuffed, the fight is over. Anybody will tell you that. Any police rookie in the academy, up all the way to the top to any chief. Once a suspect is cuffed, and, you know, they arrested him for a very minor offense.
What was it, check
forgery
or something? Forgery.
Either that or a counterfeit $20 bill, you know, in the scheme of things, big deal, okay?
Right.
So. He'd give him a ticket, send him on his way. But what they did was so egregious and so wrong. And look at all the destruction of the United States because of terrible actions by four imbeciles in uniform, really.
So we were talking about this with the mayor of Danbury, and he, from his perspective, said, you know, 99.1% of the cops are great, and then there's the few that, you know, they have reports, 13 reports, violence or whatever.
Yeah.
And they try, you know, the mayor has tried to fire them, but then they're protected.
Well, you know, you have every officer is a member of the police union. There's a disciplinary process that has to be followed. You know, what we had, I was kind of fortunate because we didn't have too many officers like that in Hartford. And
right.
the ones that were bad, they got, our administration got rid of them pretty fast. I mean, you can't have that stuff. It destroys the integrity of the entire organization, and it causes the public to mistrust you. And then, yeah, it takes years to build it back.
Yep, exactly.
Is there kind of a code between cops where it's tough for you guys to, or girls, to talk to superiors about the behavior of
one rogue,
someone that you're working with, right?
Let me tell you, in my experience, I had good relationships with all my officers. I mean, I ran some pretty high-profile units, gang units, the intel unit. And
wow.
I was involved in two grand jury investigations, one on the state level, one on the federal level, and I was never more embarrassed when a cop got, you know, defined as a dirty, bad cop. And it just ruins the trust in the community. And I had no problem getting rid of those guys because they weren't us. Like you said, 99% of the officers, men and women, they go there every day. They do their job. They take their calls. They do their investigations. They do a great job. And, you know, small percent of people.
It sucks that one or two.
Bad cops are worse than criminals.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, look, we had you come on originally to talk about some of the stuff that you've done, some of your cases. So I want to take a break and then come back and do that. Is that okay?
Sure. What kind of cases? I heard, you know, there's all sorts of them.
Well, you got one that where a bull escaped.
Oh, my God. That was it.
You got it. Hold on. Don't wait. We're just teasing these now. Then right. A cuckoo clock.
We're previewing.
Right? Yep. So, hold on. We're going to take a break. He's ready to go.
Yeah, I know.
He's ready to go.
Go.
All right. Sergeant Chris Lyons, retired Hartford Police, on the phone right now. You were shot once?
Yeah, that was more like an accident. That was an accident, not by any bad guys.
Gotcha.
Oh,
right.
What happened?
we seized a bunch of guns from a guy, my partner and I, and five or six of them. And you know, we had them all in the front seat because our trunk didn't work. Oh, and went to grab them, put them all in like a big pile there between me and my partner. I grabbed them all to keep them from sliding around as we drove back to the station.
This seems like a bad idea.
Right.
It was a bad idea. The suspect's in the back seat?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so you clearly can't put them in the back seat with
them.
Here,
hold on to these. We're going to trust you. Hold on to these, okay? Don't use any. We'll be really mad.
That happened a long time ago. Let me tell you, it hurt. I walked into the St. Francis Hospital. My foot was like smoking like it was on fire. They told me to wait in the triage area, and I was like, uh-oh, that's not good. And so I saw a doctor there. His name was Dr. Anthony Morgan. He was a trauma surgeon, and he stopped everything and attended to me right away. He was a great guy and fixed me up very well, and I was very pleased. He took care of me immediately.
So the guns are between you and your partner on the seat, and as you're cornering, you're like, I got to hold on to these guns, and then one went off and shot you in the foot?
Yep. Yes, my fault.
The gas pedal foot?
No, it was the left foot.
Left foot, okay. The clutch foot,
you
know, yeah.
So you can still drive.
The joke at the PD was now I can count to nine on my feet.
you actually really are a lead foot now, yes. Yes.
But that's all right. That was you know, I was pretty lucky to go on to a good career after that.
That's right.
Place kicker, yep.
Tell us about some of your famous cases that we might remember.
Well, I sent Ashley some information yesterday. One I thought of after I sent her the info, and it was a fugitive case, right? And we're looking for this little guy. He's wanted on all these robbery cases. And his street name was Killer J, okay? He's a little member of one of the gangs, like 5 feet tall, a little guy, but a pretty violent guy when he was a young kid. So we find out where he is. We get our group assembled. It's like 5:30 in the morning, and we hit the place we think he's at.
Can I ask you something about his nickname? Killer J. Yeah. You know, sometimes when you're big, you're called Tiny.
Exactly right.
But I have a feeling when they call you Killer, you're an actual killer.
Right.
Well, you know something? I think he was kind of more of a wannabe, but he was, you know, that's how he was known. All these gang guys have street names.
Yeah.
They don't know each other by real names. They could hang out for years and years and not know their real names.
Right. Yeah.
But anyway, we hit the place, and he's supposed to be living with his teenage girlfriend, and they have a baby. So we hit the place, and it's an empty apartment. And what we see, a bed. There's a bed in the corner, and we find the girl and the baby. So, okay, something's up. She's saying he's not here. We look all through the house, can't find him. So, as we're about
Wait, you mean when she said he's not here, you didn't say, oh, okay, well, let us know if he comes back.
We'll take your word for it. Okay.
Okay, that sounds like good police work.
I got a guy with guns in the back seat over here anyway, so.
Well, she didn't say just that. She was peppering us with F words and all that jazz.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, So as we're about to leave, we're standing in the kitchen, and we're admonishing her for hanging out with bad guys. and we see the stove start moving. I'm like, oh, what's that? And the stove starts to move, and it starts to rattle. So, you know, stoves don't move by their own. So we open up the stove door, and there he is. He stuffed himself in the stove.
Like in the oven.
Little guy.
You had oven on?
You had a Bugs Bunny moment. You should have turned the oven
moment.
On. Right. Would I turn the gas on if he was in here?
Right.
If Jay was in here? Would I take this match and throw it in?
Boom.
Right.
So, you know, it was around Thanksgiving time, and we were making jokes about, hey, maybe we'll cook the turkey that's in the oven.
Right.
And he got out pretty fast.
It was a Bugs Bunny moment.
His little timer popped out.
I was like, killer turkey.
Yep.
It was, you know, I was with this detective, this old-time guy named Detective Omasinski, one of the best fugitive guys I worked with. And I tell you, we laughed all the way to the station. The poor kid was humiliated. We caught him in the oven.
Yeah. Well, literally, you grilled him.
It was, yeah. Well, he got grilled later. He got a bunch of time in jail, and I don't know what he's doing now. It was a long time ago.
Well, Chef, the fugitive division seems like that would be a tough one to be on because you can't find the person, so now it's up to you.
It's like, where's Waldo? Times a million.
Well, that's one of the best units. If you're interested in catching fugitives, if you're interested in good investigations as a police officer, that's one of the best units to be in.
How do you? And that's where do you start when you're tracking someone down? Family and friends.
Well, you start with family and friends. You start with criminal associates. Most of the guys we checked and we were checking for, they don't have many resources to get around. So you had a finite group of friends and associates and activities they did that you could check and verify where they would be. A lot of times family members, we would hit the family members hard and say, hey, your son's wanted for this or that, or your daughter's wanted for this or that. And the last thing they want is police coming to their house again and again and again. So a lot of people would turn people in for us.
Right.
And that was the best way. We had people just show up at 4 a.m. Hey, I wanted at the police station. Just don't come. Don't tell my mother why I got arrested.
Right.
Things like that. But there were times when we had to do some chasing.
Foot chase?
Now you just friend them on Facebook.
Foot chase though. I mean, foot chases are every day. We had murder suspects that went to New York. We did investigations. We worked with NYPD. We found out where they were. One guy in particular. Street name was Buzz Rock. He committed a murder in the 90s. He was dressed like a woman,
right? Buzz Rock.
He was a big drug dealer in Hartford, and he would have a van with AstroTurf on the outside of it. It looked pretty weird.
Yeah,
the word 8-ball was stenciled on the van, so he's kind of telling everybody what he was doing.
Exactly.
So he commits a murder in Hartford, and he flees to New York, but he would come back and forth dressed like a woman, and he got nabbed.
Like Tootsie.
What a great disguise.
Right. Well, the goatee gave him away.
Wasn't a right woman.
I mean, you don't look menopausal.
So he got kind of embarrassed.
Yeah.
He got embarrassed when he came to court and,
No, but wait, how did you get him? So you got him when he came over dressed as a woman or you got him in New York?
Yeah.
It was basically a team effort between NYPD, the state's attorney's office, inspector's division, Hartford PD. It was just constant working together to get these people that flee our jurisdiction somewhere else. I mean, we just can't go to New York and grab somebody.
Right.
No. We have to rely on other. We have to stay within the state lines.
How many cases? How many cases would you have on your desk at one time?
I'd have dozens. Of cases. We'd get dozens and dozens of local cases. The warrant list in Hartford is pretty huge, and so you have different levels of warrant. Activations. You have a walk-in unit. A lot of people come in just to get that pesky warrant off their record, get arrested and come to court and come right out.
How do you
the real bad guys? And you have all sorts of units.
That's how you sort it out. You come in every morning and say, "All right, where are the hot spots?
Right,
the top most dangerous people,
your greatest hits.
Yep, the top. It's usually by charge. It's murder, arson. Toward the end of my career, we were getting. A lot of violation of probation stuff for pedophiles. It was awful, and we were catching them all day. But we had to have a dedicated group of investigators, and I did. I was very fortunate in my unit. I had great investigators. They were on task all the time, and they were very, very serious about what they did.
And that's not a job you go home and you're off the clock, right?
No, the police job, you're never off the clock.
Yep.
You're not. I mean. No, not even when you're in patrol. You're always on. And now it's so busy with all sorts of different police activity. Cops, especially in Hartford, aren't getting a break.
Yeah.
I can speak for Hartford PD. They're busy all the time.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. We have a lot more to talk to you about, but not a lot of time. So we're going to reschedule you for, So I want to hear about the bull that escaped, which I remember that story.
Right.
And then the cuckoo clock.
Yeah. Especially cuckoo clock.
That poor reporter from the Current, when she, that cuckoo clock is a killer. That's a funny story.
It's timely. Yes.
Chris Lyons, retired Sergeant Hartford Police. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Hey, you guys have a great day.
You too.
Jess, AJ, Ashley, Phil, Mornings, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox.
Hello, I'm Patrick.
Let's talk to a friend of the show who's African American, but also on the police department. So is this a tough or a weird place for you to be? Good morning, Lieutenant Murgo, East Haven Police.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Morning.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. This is definitely a conversation, you know, that needs to be had. And you're right. I'm thrown in the middle of it on both sides. I'm a person of color. I understand the frustrations that come along with that. And I am a police officer, and I understand the real frustrations that come with that as well. You know, first and foremost, I want to give my deepest condolences to Mr. Floyd and his family. I can't imagine what they must be going through right now. And, you know, the world is watching. Everybody is tuned in to the aftermath that, you know, one absolute criminal created and three other officers who had a duty to protect Mr. Floyd and had a duty to, you know, check Mr. Chauvin and get him off of him. They failed as well. So the aftermath is definitely understood. You know, we don't condone the violence. We don't condone burning down the city that employs the majority of the people who are protesting. But they have a real frustration, and I think it's time for everybody to stand on the side of equality and injustice. And, you know, let's get this conversation going.
Describe the perspective of African-American youths and what it's like to just try to get through a day.
Yeah, I mean, it's extremely stressful, you know, for an African-American in the inner city to encounter a police officer who, A, doesn't know you, doesn't come from the same neighborhood as you, and views their job as a police officer as solely a job. And, you know, in this area, we're lucky enough to not have much of that. We're lucky enough to have exceptional training. We're lucky enough to have officers who put on that bulletproof vest and that badge every single day and treat this job as a passion.
But what was it like for you growing up? That's the thing I think, you know, I'm a white guy, and I don't think I can relate to what life is like for you.
Yeah. You know, I had it so many different ways growing up. I was born in the Dominican Republic. I was adopted at 9 months old. My parents are white. I come from a large Italian family. I grew up in North Haven. My whole life, I was always one of a few minorities, you know, had so many friends that sort of insulated me from a lot of the racism. But as much as I can say that my childhood and my youth was great, I experienced racism myself growing up, you know. And when I was a child, I got misrepresented as somebody who I wasn't. And I clashed with the local police when I was a kid myself. You know, and that was sort of one of the fires that burnt inside of me that wanted me to become a police officer, you know, because as many times as I had maybe some questionable encounters with my police force at the time, you know, I had unbelievable encounters with a couple of the police officers, one of which who's the brother of Sergeant Mulhern. His brother John Mulhern was a North Haven cop.
Oh, wow.
And he took me under his wing. And I tell the story all the time. And, you know, it just meant so much to me that my encounters with Officer Mulhern at the time were so positive it made me look at police in a different light and made me want to become a police officer and be able to sort of re-deliver the feeling that, that Officer Mulhern gave me when I was a kid. It, it's a powerful thing, and it goes so far, you know?
That was interesting because I had a similar experience. I was in trouble all the time to the point where the police would hear my address.
Oh.
And they would know who they're coming for.
Right.
And I was 15 years old at the time, and I'm in the back of a Shelton police cruiser outside my house, and I wish I knew this cop's name so I could tell him how much he changed my life. But he said, you know, Charlie, you're going to be 16 soon, and this is not going to be a juvenile thing. You're going to start going through the court system. And right now you can make a decision how you want your life to unfold. You don't have to live like this. That conversation right there changed everything. It was a big game changer for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah. it's just such a powerful thing. And you know, police have an opportunity every single day to change the life of somebody and of somebody that they've never met before and of somebody that maybe they'll never see again. But during that one encounter, and police have millions of encounters every single day. And you know, that's one of the things, too, is that sometimes when something like this happens, it does start a conversation. But on the other side of it is the overwhelming majority of police officers go out there and do their job day in and day out with honor and respect, and they treat people right.
Right. You know? And we talked about this earlier. So the mayor was on, and he said, you know, those couple of bad cops, we can't fire them.
Yeah.
And we try, and then somehow they win their jobs back on appeal. Is that a problem?
Well, I mean, there's a process, you know, and there's a lot of protections, especially in jobs like this with union protection and everything else. But, you know, my view is let's back up a little bit. How are they getting these jobs? Who is put in these positions of power to hire the wrong people, you know? And
but how do you know? Because I can lie my way through a job interview, but sometime during the course of the job, I think people are going to say, yeah, maybe he doesn't. I got to tell you a story. My dad in Brooklyn didn't know how to drive a truck. His uncle said, go down here, apply Monday morning at 6, and just tell him, you know me, and you can drive a truck.
Right.
And here he is driving a truck through Brooklyn. They're like, oh, here's the keys.
Yep.
Wow.
And off you go.
He's driving through Brooklyn, driving a truck. He never drove a truck before. Right. So I think people can lie their way through the process.
You can to a certain extent, right? But human nature always shines through. And I think that's one of the most important parts of this job is that you need to monitor these people when they first come out of the academy. Yes, there's a field training portion of it and everything else. But, you know, human nature always shines through. It's these soft skills that we're looking for. How do you treat people in the public? How do you deal with people who may not look like you, who don't come from the same background as you? What are your values? What do you bring to the table? And if we do a better job at sort of dissecting things like values and what is important to you and what was your family makeup like, what was your childhood experiences like, if you're able to sort of dig your way through those, I think you get a better picture of who you're looking to hire and who you're going to hand these guns and these badges to.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
So in the beginning of the process, but also at the end, too, like during the course of the career, because it's tough when you see something like this happen and then you hear, well, this guy had 13, complaints.
Yeah, more than two or three. It's like, whoa, come on.
Yeah, when you get to 13, maybe maybe there's some number where you start really looking hard.
Yeah, it's like 8.
Yeah, and again, I don't know how these other police departments do it. And we're trained so much differently up here in the Northeast. And in my opinion, it really shows. But we have a mechanism here where it's not going to get to 13. We have an early intervention system. You know, every single thing that you're involved in gets thrown into an algorithm. And again, it's not the end all be all. These people do slip through the cracks. But I could tell you that 13 incidents, that early intervention system is going to be dinging and ticking and ringing, and you're going to get pulled in. You're going to get pulled in to talk to me. You're going to get pulled in to talk to the chief. You're going to get...
And what would a conversation with you go? What would that be like?
Well, I mean, it depends on exactly, you know, what the issue is. And it looks at motor vehicle stats. It looks at, you know, racial profiling statistics. It looks at use of force incidences. And if you have any amount in a certain period of time that warrants a conversation, and we document it. And if it's a training issue, we will send you to training. It's, you know, a whole host of things can be the issue. There could be something going on at home, and we're expected to sort of figure that out too. You know, it's mental health in this job is extremely important.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it.
It's one of the leading factors in police suicides, or it's one of the leading factors in, you know, use of force incidences. What's going on at home? What's your family life like, you know? And if you're able to, to detect something is off, we have a responsibility to take you out of that environment and put you somewhere else. And I think that's where a lot of agencies fail.
I hope the conversation doesn't get hijacked by looters and folks lighting buildings on fire.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It would be a disservice to, Mr. Floyd.
It would.
All right.
You're absolutely right. I mean, Mr. Floyd's brother spoke yesterday, and he said that he doesn't want, the legacy of his brother's death to be overshadowed by people who are burning down their city. And I couldn't agree with him more.
Yeah.
You know?
I have a clip from
the world's attention. Everybody is watching.
This is a moment.
We can make a difference.
Yep.
You know?
So we're going to play that clip. Thank you for coming on. Thanks for what you do. And thanks to all the East Haven police officers.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
Thank
you're
you.
Welcome, guys. All right. We'll talk soon. Thank
Sounds
you.
Good.
Lieutenant Murgo, who, by the way, does a mean Taylor Swift.
Yeah, he does.
Man, I was thinking about that performance a little bit.
Mm-hmm. All right, so here is George Floyd's brother saying stop the violence.
I understand y'all upset. I doubt y'all half as upset as I am. So if I'm not over here wilding out, if I'm not over here blowing up stuff, if I'm not over here messing up my community, then what are y'all doing? What are y'all doing? Y'all doing nothing. Because that's not going to bring my brother back at all. It may feel good for the moment, but when it comes down, you're going to wonder what you did. My family is a peaceful family. My family is God-fearing. Yeah, we upset. But we're not going to take it. We're not going to be repetitious. In every case of police brutality, the same thing has been happening. Y'all protest. Y'all destroy stuff, and if they don't move, you know why they don't move? Because it's not their stuff, it's our stuff. So they want us to destroy our stuff. They're not going to move. So let's do this another way.
Well said. And if there's anyone who should be pissed enough to be burning stuff, it would be this family.
Exactly right. They're not doing it. Why are you?
Did you hear about there's two people watching this on the news, and they see what's happening, and they say, oh, man, that poor family. They're going to watch this on television.
Yeah.
And the phone rings, and it turned out to be his cousins. So they were like, yeah, your cousin was just killed by police brutality. It's like, wait, I was just watching that on TV. Right. That's him?
Oh, man. God.
Yeah, tough way to find out.
Horrible way to find out.
Yeah.
The mayor of Manchester is on the phone, Jay Moran. Hey.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, morning. Good morning.
I don't go by Killer J, by the way. I just want to let you know that.
Yeah, what would your nickname be? I feel like we should give nicknames to everybody.
Mayor J.
I don't know. My wife's upstairs. Maybe we should ask her.
No, but... yes, I would like that. Right. No, what about Khaki J?
Right.
Khaki J?
Khaki J.
Right.
He's kind of tacky.
Every time I see him, he's in khakis.
Oh, Khaki J.
Gotcha. Khaki. I don't know where I would sweat to J more than Khaki J, but you know what? Yeah, I don't know. We'll come up with something better than that.
He's kind of tall. He could be Big Man Moran.
Right. Oh, yeah, I like that.
Big Man Moran.
Sounds like a mobster, yeah.
Big Man Moran.
I love that.
Right.
Yeah, all right, God. I've got the T-shirts made this afternoon.
See, wait, hold on.
I can hear your head swelling.
Hold on. You're not supposed to like your nickname.
I can hear your head swelling ready.
That's mistake number one.
Wow.
Okay, Joyful J. I don't like you. Go ahead. Go for it.
Joyful J.
It sounds like a joint store, like a head shop.
Yeah. So, wow. What's going on in Manchester? How you guys dealing with it?
Moranchester.
Moranchester. Yeah, no, I'm glad. You know what?
Sorry.
You know what? This is done. This is over.
Yep.
This is the world needs Chaz and AJ. We need a lot of humor, folks. So I appreciate this. We had a peaceful rally in Manchester yesterday. There's probably 250 people there.
I'm guessing it was not held at the buffet.
No, it was not the buffet or the Chuck E. Cheese's or anywhere else, but it was held right at the center of town. And I was impressed by the people speaking. The lieutenant governor spoke with me at the rally, and it was just peaceful. The police were there, and they were great. And it was it's a shame that around the country, some of these people are looting and causing problems aren't having anything to do with these peaceful rallies. And I think that as Mr. Floyd's brother said, please stop that. And in his honor, I would think they should stop that. But folks are angry. I'll say Black Lives Matters, and people say, what do you mean, doesn't all that lives matter? I said, yes, but until Black Lives Matters or Brown Lives Matters, until we've looked through their lens and lived their life, Chaz, you asked the question earlier, I grew up a white guy, I don't know what it's like to go through this. We have to start looking at our brothers and sisters of color and understanding their pain and valuing them, and I think we can get through this together. But until we start looking through their lens and understanding what they go through, then when they get pulled over, what happens to them? We have a lot of work to do, but I think yesterday's rally being peaceful, and there were some white people there too, along with our folks of color. It was a nice rally.
Here's the deal: the word racism scares people.
Yeah,
they don't
want to
be associated with it.
Labeled
they don't want to be called it.
Yeah,
they
want to
stay away from it.
Yeah.
So therefore, when something happens like this, we look the other way.
Yep.
And look what happened to those cops. We're saying they're just as guilty as murder.
Yep.
Well, we're looking the other way.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So
to get through this, we have to be uncomfortable, and we have to have uncomfortable conversations
without yelling at each other.
Seriously. Yeah.
Try to empathize. Yeah.
And I've been there before. I've come a long way in my journey on understanding what other people and looking through their lens. And it takes time. We're all in different places in the journey. But
I can't picture you yelling at anyone.
No. Just basketball officials. But The scene yesterday on the highway in 84, and if you guys saw it, where the state troopers were hand in hand with the protesters, and they were doing something, they were doing a prayer. That speaks volumes right there. That sheriff in Michigan who said, "I will walk with you." I'll walk with you. That speaks volumes, because as our two police officers talked about earlier, it's about trust, gaining the trust of our police again. And most of our police officers are doing good things. It's the ones that aren't that are, and you talk about the contracts and 13 or 18, people saying things that the police officers are doing. We have to work as policymakers. When we talk about contracts, we got to stop looking at overtime and salaries and talk about behavior too, and get some language in their contracts about that. So we all have a lot to do here to work with this, but I appreciate you guys talking about it. We all have to talk about it.
No, I'm glad. I've been texting everybody, what are your thoughts? And anyone who had a good thought, I said, well, come on and talk about it.
Exactly.
We want to hear it. So.
Yeah, and coming away with a nickname is always fun. And I seriously.
Big Man Moran and Moran Chester.
That's amazing.
These are really killer. I think Phil's going to be in charge of our nickname department.
Do me next.
Hold on, Mayor.
I just want to get a response to this. What would Ashley's nickname be?
He already gave it to her.
What was it?
Bangs and teeth.
I mean, it's too good. It's too good.
It's long. It's wordy. Bangs and teeth.
I don't really like that.
You could call her B&T.
How about Ashley?
It's the same amount of syllables.
Ashley.
No.
I'm sorry, Ashley. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Anyway.
I'm sorry.
You didn't cut her hair. Don't apologize.
Seriously, right?
I didn't cut her hair.
That person's rehab now.
I love you guys. Your humor keeps us going. You guys do so much good in the community, but thank you for making us laugh. We need to laugh more often and work with each other.
Yeah.
You guys are the best.
Thank you, Mayor Moran.
Big Man Moran, Mayor of Moranchester.
Yes.
I'll change the maps immediately.
Yeah, exactly.
Boston comedian, good friend of the program, Will Noonan on the show. Good morning.
Good morning, gang. How are you?
Good morning. Hey, can 2020 get any weirder? I probably shouldn't say that out loud.
Knock on wood.
I mean, this week or?
I don't even know, man. I don't know what more could happen. And it's weird that it's 2020. I remember I graduated in 2001 high school, and people were like, 2001, man, it's going to be something. We're in the future. And now 2020, it really feels like the future, and I just want to go back.
It seems to me every time someone brings up something like a new decade, that's when things go out of control. They said
what
that
do you mean
in 2000.
Someone brings up a new decade. You mean when we're in a new decade?
You know, everybody's like, oh, the Roaring Twenties are back and this and that. Remember,
that was me.
Yeah, it was you and a bunch of other people. It's going to be the greatest ever. And look what happened. You guys jinxed it. Shut up next time.
Well, it's like the 60s. I remember growing up and reading about history and being like, man, the 60s seems so cool. And now that I'm like in it, I'm like, this isn't cool at all.
Yeah,
I miss boring.
Yep. Yeah, boring was nice.
Yeah, it was nice while it lasted.
Yeah, the one thing, I think it's all perspective, right? So I think anyone who lived through World War II or the 60s or the nuclear threat, like, I don't know.
Right.
Some people remember going into class and being taught to duck and cover.
Cover your back of your neck.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. If a nuclear bomb goes off, getting under your desk is not going to help, okay?
Yeah, give me an ash no matter where you are.
The lesson should have been run outside, run towards the mushroom cloud, just end it.
Exactly. Grab an ice cream, whatever like makes you happy, and because you're going out.
Yeah, but we've always had this weirdness, and we've always had fights between races, and I think there are some people who want it to happen.
Oh, for
they
sure.
Don't I mean, them, yes.
I was a teenage punk rocker, boys. And I used to go to protests when I was like 17, 18 for the Iraq War and stuff. And I was really, you know, I was there for the cause, but I always saw a lot of people there who were just my age, who just wanted to be at something crazy or like mess something up. So it's kind of like you're always going to have people there who are dead serious and really there for the cause and very like smart. And then you're just going to have people who just want to riot and mess stuff up. That's like the nature. That's the nature of the riot game. Sometimes me guys, I go back and forth in one protest. Sometimes I'm just like, let's flip a cop car. And then a second later, I'm like, let's hold a sign. You know, it's just how I do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was a joke.
Gotcha.
Don't come arrest me.
Too late. You're on the way.
Yeah. What are we going to do?
Yep.
No, it's pretty crazy, but I think you know, I think I'm pretty proud of my city here in Boston. Like, we did have some looting and some riots, but luckily it was very small. It was a small fraction of there were thousands of people out there protesting the right way, and there was a small fraction of people, and they get a lot of attention. You know, those
they get
people.
All of the attention,
right? Because they make all the noise.
All of the attention,
yep.
Right?
Well, you know, it's what sells. It's what gets your eyes on the news. And it's I don't blame them. It's good footage, you know, to see that scary stuff. But
yeah, we were talking about that. Like, if I have the choice of watching a building burning and people throwing stuff into windows, or then I flip the channel and I see police kneeling with protesters.
Quietly and cooperating.
I'm going to go back to the burning building and the stuff being thrown because there's this feeling of anything can happen.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching, you know, it's not cool, you know, you're sitting there, you're flipping through the news networks and you're kind of like, it's like, we don't even have sports to watch right now. You're like, let's see what's going on in Chicago. Let's see what's going on in LA. Let's see what's going on in Boston. And you're watching this stuff from the comfort of your home, which we never were really able to do before. And you're right. It does make for good footage. It makes for good news watching. You're like, oh my God, what is happening out there? And it's not exciting to show someone, you know, just peacefully protesting or kneeling or anything like that. But I just don't know. It's crazy. And it's also crazy. There's still a pandemic going on.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what we've been talking about every week. And it's so American. It's like, you know how you go back to like your, you know, if like you're in Japan, it's like, well, we make Toyotas. It's like here in America, we make racial disharmony. So like when the times get tough, we'll always fight amongst ourselves.
We'll find a way to fight.
In a weird way, it brings us together as a nation to bicker.
Phil, are you going to say something?
No.
Okay. I can never tell what Phil's face is.
Sometimes I want to jump in and just say like a joke and we've moved on.
Oh, right. Okay.
Well, it's, you know, I don't want to, like, it's weird. I don't ever want to be serious, guys. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think any of us really do. We don't enjoy being
serious.
Well,
then what
serious.
Are you doing here then?
Right.
I know, but it's, but it's like, you know what I mean? But it's kind of like one of those times where it feels like even when I make a joke, sometimes it's not working. Like, you know when you're watching comedy and the waitress drops like a tray of drinks, right? Mm-hmm. And if the comedian doesn't say anything, it's like the whole room is like, what the heck, dude? What's up with this guy? Like,
right.
I heard it. You heard it.
Right, you didn't say anything about it? What happened? Yeah.
Yep.
So it's like right now, if you ignore the obvious in comedy, it just doesn't work. So right now it's this really weird time, I feel like, where you kind of have to talk about what's going on,
yep.
But people don't really want to hear it. because it's not funny and it's not like super entertaining.
It's uncomfortable.
It is.
But you got to talk about it. It's like the nation is dropping glasses left and right, and it's like we can't just ignore it.
It's Trey's everywhere, yes.
And that's the problem, is that we've been looking the other way, and that's the problem.
And I think there's a thing where a lot of people, I can speaking for myself, it's like, hey, you know, that's someone else's job to talk about that. I'm not a political person. I'm not that guy. I'm here to do comedy. I'm here to make people laugh.
Yep.
And I think that's the way to have been until really this point. I see people all over the place who have never been politically outspoken or anything because that's not their game at all. That's not what they're into.
No, and it's definitely not, AJ. Can I tell you, can I read a text? So I sent out a group text last night. So I'm bringing the whole team together, and I'm like, all right, what are we going to talk about? How are we going to address this tomorrow? Because we had a very serious show yesterday, and I could see, like, as I clicked on the news, there was nothing else. Coronavirus was down at the bottom of any news feed or news. So it was down there, like,
after the cooking segment.
Next to, like, a water main break.
Right.
A dozen headlines.
Or didn't even exist.
Or was to eat, yes.
Right. And AJ's text back, so Ashley was like, well, there's this angle. And Phil says, you know, 99% of Twitter and the social media is all this. So we have to do something on it. And then AJ says, I got chased by bees in my yard. Right? So AJ's that guy who just, well, he doesn't. And that's, it's, you know what? Sometimes it's a blessing, right?
Thank you.
No, that's, that's what I want to hear about.
Happy.
Exactly. And he posted a video about it, but it's not even the video of him getting chased by the bees.
Because I'm too busy running, numbnuts.
But turn the phone on while you're running.
Wait, did he post a video about getting chased by the bees?
Yeah, that's what that's the you know, thoughts from AJ's front seat, you know, that he posts every morning before the show starts. Yeah.
Right, it's going to be thoughts from when I run over Phil next. Do you guys see that? I videotaped that one.
The bees were protesting AJ's existence. They were just trying to. It was the bees.
They were like, AJ, get involved.
Hey, I was in the strife. I also was drinking early.
AJ, get involved, man. Tweet something. That What's was called, going on yeah, with you?
Really. That was called day drinking.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know, I feel like we've been talking about the bees going extinct, but I feel like they're back this summer.
These are yellow jackets.
Now they're murder hornets.
No, these are yellow jackets. I call them a-holes with wings.
Oh, my goodness. Well, don't call the cops on them. It's a little iffy right now. Give that some time. That's all I'd say. But it's weird. It's definitely a weird time. It is like I went right from thinking I'm never going to work again because of corona to getting back in comedy clubs and getting back to work and not knowing what to talk about because the country's so messed up.
Right. I start with that.
But it's going to be an interesting ride, just like we were saying. You know, no one, when the 60s were going on, people were like, what the heck, this stinks, da-da-da. And then when they're old and they're smoking weed on their couch, they're like, oh, you should have been there. If you weren't at the 60s, you don't know what's up.
The conversation has to be much like the Olympics, right? There's a bunch of scores. You toss away the lowest, you toss away the highest, right?
In the middle.
So anytime we have an important conversation like this, we have to eliminate the crazies on one side, the crazies on the other.
Absolutely.
And then the people like AJ that want to talk about flip-flops and getting chased by bees, and then have a conversation with the folks in the middle, the normal people.
Where's our conversation about this stuff?
The people who just went out and bought bee spray. You know, the people who just bought wasp spray and took care of that issue.
Right. Or new flops. Yeah.
Difficult to
wasps
say.
Wasp spray.
Wow. You guys got a lot of wasps down there in Connecticut.
Yeah, we do.
Ah, I see what you're doing.
Careful, Ashley's going to drop a tray of drinks if you make another one of those.
I'll be that person.
Yeah, well, it's a good time to have a puppy, I'll tell you that. Every time I turn off the TV, I just hold him and cry for about 20 seconds. So I'm like, let's go. Give me some sweetness.
Yeah, the dog must be readopted again.
Dog is so cute.
Oh, that dog is cute. How do you say no to a face like that? Your dog, Sam?
Yeah, Sam is melting hearts all over Boston these days.
There you go, see?
He's
interesting
fireman
year to name your dog after the government.
Right?
I know. tell you, it's looking like a bad buy. I'm like, man, this is like buying stock in a terrible company. It's just going down every day. I'm like, this is looking like
it's like naming a dog Edsel.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Or Corona.
Just kidding. Yeah. Sam's a cute name. Very cute dog. But yeah, that's
we
the
almost
thing.
Named him on. We almost named him New Coke, but we were like, you know what?
Let's go with it. That failed. That failed, yes. And Pepsi Light did, too.
That was good. That was fast. All right, brother. I got to go. Thanks for coming on, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, I'll be funnier next week. It was great talking to you guys.
You know what? You're always funny.
This is, you know, it was everything you'd want.
Exactly.
And funny.
Right.
So.
All right. Love you guys. I'll talk to you
soon.
Love
you too, man.
Yep.
All right, Will Noonan, Boston comedian. We're linked up to all his stuff at WPR.com, 95.9thefox.com. AJ's the best.
Thank you. I mean, in a good way, right?
I really do.
Okay.
Yeah. You're just 100% you.
Thank you. I got to be me.
100%
AJ. Because nobody else wants to be me. Let's face it.
True.
Someone's got to do the damn job.
Yeah.
Yep. You got to stand out, be unique.
There's parts of you I'd like, but I'd like to be able to turn it on and off.
Right. Now I can't turn
like
things on and off.
Like your... inability to care about world problems.
Well, you have to smoke a lot of pot.
Or not inability, you're non-caring.
Well, yeah.
Right.
I care when it comes to me when I'm involved.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Exactly.
And you know it, and you admit it.
Well, you know
celebrate.
What? Also, you don't want to say something or do something stupid. So if you just basically just live your own life, you're kind of out of it.
It's an unrivaled, determined indifference.
Exactly right.
Yes.
Someone's got to do it,
that's
damn
good.
It.
Yeah. Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. We thought we'd get off the serious subjects of the world for a second.
Right.
And do shock collar trivia.
By shocking the snot out of me.
Here, well, if you do well, you won't get shocked at all.
If I do well, but what are the odds?
If you want to be nice to AJ, you call in a trivia question like, what's 2 + 2?
Right.
I have a question.
I was told me no math.
Have we tested the apparatus?
Have we tested? Yeah. I tested it myself.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I did.
All right.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem legit.
I tested myself, so.
I'm satisfied.
Yeah. Now, let me put it around Phil's neck. Hang on a second. Right. And test it again.
1-877-764-2535. Can you run video on my phone?
You know, if you put it around your neck, remember that time I put it around my neck and it felt like my head exploded?
Not good.
Yeah.
That we learned the hard way.
But I also found out.
Bad idea.
Don't put it on your private parts. Another one. Remember that time?
No.
Did you really do that?
Yeah, I really did.
But no one asked you to.
I know. I was bored that day.
All right, trivia questions. 1-877-764-2535. Shock collar trivia. The only rule is you need to know the answer to your own question.
Right, otherwise I find you.
Emma in Wallingford.
Hey. Now, AJ, you got a 50-50 shot on this answer. Which Williams sister has won more Grand Slam titles?
I'm going to go with Serena.
Nice job.
Thank you.
AJ.
That's the only name I knew. She's always in the news. I'm assuming she's winning.
Ooh. All right, Emma. Nice job.
Thanks.
That's probably the last thing I'll get right.
Mike in West Haven.
All right. AJ, in the very beginning of the show, Cheers, when they start the show off, it says established in what year?
Great question.
That's kind of dumb. 1841. I don't even know the answer yet. Maybe I'll get it right.
I hope it's not 1841.
When was it?
It's 1895.
He scrambled his brain. At least I got the 18 part right.
Yeah. Wow, that was close.
Thank you for the thanks for the.
Have a great day, guys.
Look, you see red marks on my hand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe put that on low.
Okay, so.
10 is low, right?
Ten is high. 10 is high. 10 is high. 10
he did
is high.
Have it on low.
10 is high. That was low.
Yeah, that was low.
That was low.
Fred and Hamden.
Hey, what is the nickname for the SpaceX capsule?
I'm going to call it Tylenol. What the hell is it?
Dragon.
Who the hell knows that?
Good luck.
Dumbass news.
Yeah.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
Hello.
Dumbass.
When you see a dumbass in the news, send it to dumbassnews@chazandajinthemorning.com. Radio personality takes the shocking of his life.
You put that bell.
It can't be me.
I don't even know if AJ knows it was him.
It can't be me.
You put that bell down like you meant it. You mad?
Shock Collar Trivia came back this morning on the show.
Yes, it did.
AJ was the recipient. Let's hear how he did.
Thank you for the
have a great day.
Birmingham.
I got two red marks over here, like from my hand in water. But who would bring that water to me if the water doesn't work over here? It would be the water doctor, folks, wouldn't it? Good. Something go wrong.
Wait, what was that?
I don't know.
What happened there?
Do you hear yourself?
What?
I just wonder what words he thought he was saying as these sounds were coming out of his
mouth. I did absorb a lot of voltage.
Got two red marks with the water on my hand.
That last one.
It would be the water doctor, folks, wouldn't it?
Good.
Something come out.
What were you trying to say there?
I don't know.
I don't think there was one discernible
that,
word.
That happened over a half hour ago. I have no
idea.
Something
come out. Does anyone know?
No.
Something come out wrong?
Something come out wrong?
Maybe. What?
That's it.
Something come out wrong? Right?
Something come out wrong. Good.
Something come out wrong?
You can translate yourself.
Well, I should be able to, I'd hope.
Something come out wrong?
Whatever.
Shock collar trivia.
What I missed.
Oh, wait. Hold on a minute.
Let me do this. You're up to the microphone.
Did you?
Yeah.
Ah.
Is this better?
Well, Washington, who gets a rat's ass, you know. Washington, who gets a rat's ass. That was a good one. Should be an actual team.
You got to take a still from the video of him holding his ear up to the microphone to try to hear Andre better.
His ear?
My ear.
Ear up to the microphone.
My ear. Yep, it's contagious.
Seven.
At least I have an excuse. I got zapped.
All right, Ashley, stop talking.
Yep. She's done now.
Yep. She's shot. Man.
And this is where bangs and teeth came from.
Exactly right.
That's all you see right now.
Bangs and teeth, yep.
Those little doors over there.
Nope, he's back.
Shut up, Phil. You got those, that Chaz Sage, he's in a search bar. C-H-A-Z in a search bar. I got a lot zapped. I got zapped a lot.
Again, there's a lot of voltage.
Oh, Jesus.
Got a lot of zapped. I got a lot zapped. I got zapped a lot.
I
corrected myself.
We're going to move on from talking about you.
Okay, who? You never answered that question.